this meeting, and I would like to call upon our presenters for this afternoon. And Atiel, I think you'll be the first. And then Sunday. It's Sunday. And so, yeah, please, you guys should come. Okay? And Alan Barrett. All right. Please. Join me, please. Okay, this last part of this the meeting actually is about some sort of housekeeping issues, actually, because then, of course, we'll be providing more details on the way we've been functioning. And another important part, of course, is going to be the renewal, you know, of our board and then the elections, you know, before our closing ceremony. But I think we are not expecting to spend more than two hours for this. So if everything is okay and the PowerPoint presentation are loaded and tested, then I would like to call upon Adiel to provide an update on our training structure. Initially it was our legal counselor was supposed to do this, but she's not around, and the CEO will be doing it. So Adiel, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So I won't be projecting any PowerPoint on this, but I will quickly give an update on AFRINIC structure. the main thing we were supposed to talk about is our legal structure in Mauritius. We had several meetings and discussion with our legal counsel on how to make our process, our good governance process, and the openness that we have in the internet community being consistent with the law in Mauritius, as we are registered in Mauritius. So there are some differences between what we do and how the company acts in Mauritius, request the company to do things. So we are working on harmonizing it and present it to the community. Of course, we will send a summary to the discussion mailing list so we get feedback from the community and discuss this. We are not able to present the final report here because some last minute information comes in, so she is still working on those last-minute information, and we will soon compile the result of the whole discussion and send it to the mailing list. But globally, some of the measure has already been taken informally. For instance, you have noticed that now the board has a financial and budget committee. The board has an audit committee, which are informal committees set up by the board. One of the idea is to include those committee in the bylaw, for instance, to make it to make them mandatory and part of the AFRINIC structure. The idea is to also have a more organization among the board, to have a treasurer for the board. Some of those issues, I won't elaborate them until we have the final report, which we can share with you. At the same time, internally at AFRINIC, we are improving the structure of the organization all along the time, because with the experience, with the time we are spending handling all the different activity and tasks, we are trying to make the organization structure more efficient to deliver. So that is also something we are updating. So it will be a global report then. The other thing is, as I presented yesterday in my overall update, is that we are planning to hire more staff this year to strengthen the organization and being able to handle in a better way all your requests and serve you better. So this will probably happen very soon. So I won't take much time on this regard. But if there is any specific question regarding Afrinix structure, the way we work, or some clarification on how we work today, I will be very happy to answer them and discuss about them. Good. Thanks,
Adiel. Well, I see no hands up, so we'll move on to the second item on the agenda. And as Adiel mentioned, of course, we did set up a few committees, and one of them is the audit committee. And this is the first, I would say, sort of audit that the board actually commissioned. So we are going to listen to the report on this audit, and I would like to call the chair of the audit committee, which is should be Sunday.
Sorry,
no. Didier. But and Sunday is also a member of this. Okay, Sunday, please.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. The report of the Afrinix Audit Committee. I'll just talk briefly about the audit process, the requirement for statutory audit, the audited financial statements, and questions. The audit committee was formed in December 2005, and its main task was to appoint an external auditor. The committee consists of Messrs. Didier Kasole, who chaired the committee, myself, Kenny Yiptong, and Brian Longwe. An RFP was sent to major firms, and the selection of the cabinet was made after consultation and interviews. And the committee did recommend the firm of Messrs. Ernst & Young. After the audit was completed, the committee examined the audit and gave its approval. And the audit committee will review the appointment of Ernst & Young for the next financial year. We hope to have an interim audit in June 2006, which will go beyond financial audits, would definitely include HR. Statutorily, the audit was done according to international auditing standards by a firm which is one of the big four in Mauritius. And according to the auditor's report, the accounting statement gives a true and fair representation of the state of accounts of Afrinix Limited as at 31st December 2005. The audit committee approved the statements and recommended to the board of directors that they in turn should approve the report, and the board gave its approval on the 15th of May 2006. Thank you. If there are questions, I will take them. Members will still consider the financial reports, but what I'm just talking about is the audit process and not the report itself.
Well, that one was quick, and I see no answer. I mean, so that was clear. But as Sandy was saying, you're also going to hear about the financial report, so that will certainly supplement more information. But feel free to come up with any question. Then with that, I would like to move to the chair of the Finance and Committee, which is Alan Barry. Sorry, the agenda is, slightly changed there. The first quarter financial status will be coming later, after the budget thing. So we'll just be hearing from Alan Barrett, who is chairing the Finance Committee.
Right, good afternoon. I'm Alan Barrett. I'm going to speak about the budget for the year 2006. The budget was prepared by the staff, reviewed by the Finance Committee, which is a subcommittee of the board, and then approved by the full board. Okay, so the budget is intended to cover all our expenses for 2006 and to build towards a stable structure to carry on in future years. I'm just looking for a laser pointer. Great. So in the year 2005, bulk of AfriNIC's income was from members who had previously been associated with other RIRs, Aaron and the RIPE NCC, and they were transferred from those other RIRs to AfriNIC, and as part of that transfer process, the fees which they had paid to the other RIRs were transferred to AfriNIC. In 2006, the bulk of the income is from membership fees. But there's no longer that transfer process. They're now purely AfriNIC members. So there are the previous members who have remained, and there are also new members who joined during the year 2005. And, of course, the 2006 budget expects that further new members will join during the course of the year. The capital expenditure for 2006 will be lower than 2005 because some once-off expenses, such as office furniture and computer equipment, were purchased in 2005, and there's no need to renew that expense in 2006. Operational expenses in both 2005 and 2006 are made up chiefly of salaries, travel, seminars, and training. Okay, so I'll briefly look at the income forecast, operational expenditures, capital expenditures, and cash flow. The combined income statement is going to combine a few different parts of the operations in a single statement. So first we look at the Mauritius operations. Things can sometimes be difficult to understand because AfriNIC has headquarters and operations in Mauritius, and also has operations in South Africa, which are funded in a different way. And we're also in the process of setting up a backup site in Egypt, which will be funded in yet another way. And because of this, sometimes the budget can be hard to understand. Some of the figures on the budget concentrate purely on Mauritius, leaving out the South African and Egyptian expenses. Okay, so this slide shows purely the budget for Mauritius operations. I'll just highlight a few points. Income, as you can see, is chiefly from membership. So we're forecasting a rise of 55% above the 2005 budget, but it's only about 10% above the 2005 actual income. Okay, because the actual income from membership fees in 2005 was above the budget. And I'm sorry, there's not an extra column for the actual expenses in 2005, but that was talked about in a different presentation. Expenses, you can see, for the most part, the 2 years are fairly similar. A big difference here is in the travel budget. You can see the meeting and marketing and training budget has reduced, and the travel budget has increased. One reason for that is just a change in bookkeeping. In the year 2005, travel related to meetings was budgeted under meetings and is included in the $68,500, whereas in the 2006 year, travel relating to meetings and training is included not under the training budget, but rather under the travel budget. Okay. Also, there's an increase in travel because of attendance at more meetings, funding of board members to visit meetings of other RIRs, funding of ASO representatives to go to ASO face-to-face meetings. Okay, then the other major change between the 2 years is the HR budget is greatly increased due to hiring of more staff. Now, right now, the extra staff haven't yet been hired, but they will be soon. All the other differences between the 2 years are fairly small, and I don't want to dwell on them. Okay, now if we look at the South African operation, total expenses approximately $160,000, almost entirely covered by approximately $150,000 contributed by the South African Department of Communications. We have an agreement with the South African DOC in terms of which they fund the South African operations for a few years, and their contribution is gradually decreasing. In the 2006 year, it will be as we show here. In the 2007 year, it reduces, I think, to approximately $50,000, and then the year after that, I think it terminates. The expenses there are salaries and general rental and office administration. So I think that includes things like telephones, photocopying equipment. Egypt operations, we don't have a formal budget for that. Things haven't really been finalized in Egypt. We don't know exactly what things will cost, but we do have an agreement with the Egyptian Department of Communications that all the Egypt-related expenses will be paid by them for 2 years. Okay, so it's off the budget, but it is going to cost money, but it's going to be paid for by the Egyptian government. Okay, so now this is a summary combining the South African and the Mauritius operations. It's still not including Egypt because we don't have proper budgetary figures for that. Okay, so you can see income, $410,000 budgeted in 2005. Actual income in 2005 was somewhere above $500,000. Budgeted for 2006, $635,000. However, later on you'll see a cash flow projection where we assume that only 89% of that will actually be collected. Okay. The other grants and special projects, I can't remember exactly how that's broken down, but the big figure here, 148,000 hosting country contributions, that's the South African DOC, and the year before it was more than that. Okay, so now if that was the combined income of South Africa and Mauritius, but still excluding Egypt. Okay, now if we look at the expenditure, this is again combined South Africa plus Mauritius, but excluding Egypt. Office rental expenses, the 2 years more or less the same. General office expenses is a big reduction there. I'm not sure of the reason for that offhand. I think it has to do with furniture, which has been purchased but is in the previous year and doesn't need to be bought again. Okay, travel and representation, I've already mentioned that that's gone up quite a lot because of increased attendance at various meetings. Okay, HR expenses, this is the combined figure of South Africa plus Mauritius. Again, it's gone up quite a bit. Now, this chart shows the breakdown of where the money goes. 44%, the biggest slice there is HR, that's staff salaries plus benefits. The next largest chunk at 25% is travel, and all the others are a lot smaller than that. Looking at the capital expenditure, the changes between 2005 and 2006 are not very large in most cases. The biggest two changes are in software. I think that's purchase of software for use in the office, and that was a once-off purchase from 2005. Presumably, a couple of years down the line, we'll have to get updated licenses to new versions of that software. But in 2006, it's not necessary. The vehicle, I need to say something more about that. It was budgeted in 2005, but you'll see it wasn't actually purchased, and it reflects, although it's in the 2005 budget, it'll be in the 2006 cash flow. Okay, so here's the cash flow. As of the start of 2006, a positive balance of $485,000. That's made up basically of cash in the bank, some in short-term current accounts, and a substantial fraction in a longer-term fixed deposit for, I think it was 12 months. Fees, well, this is on the income side of the cash flow. This $565,000, that's the 89% of the projected membership fees. So we're allowing for some, well, the cash flow is conservatively calculated, assuming that not all the projected fees are paid. Sponsorship, that's mostly the Mauritius government provides approximately $2,000 per month towards rental of the office space in Mauritius. Expenses, well, we've already talked about them all, and you know, here they are totaled up. And so you see, if all this goes as projected, we'll have at the end of 2006 a positive cash position of $511,000. That might look like a lot, but you must remember that we have lots of sponsorship which will fall away in future years. We need to build up a reserve. Okay, so we're trying to build up a reserve to cover 12 months of expenses. We're not there yet, and we need to take into account these sponsorships ending. All right, I think that's the end. Are there any questions? No questions. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Alan, for this. And we move on to the first quarter report by the. I was supposed to be by CFO, but also about you be doing. By Adiel.
Okay, now that we have seen the budget for 2006, we will here briefly show you the figure for the first quarter. It's a bit over because it's up to April. Compared to the budget. Right. Okay. So we'll talk about the introduction. The audit side, I will escape it because we already got the report from the audit committee. We will just talk about the financial highlight for 2006 actual, what has been done, and what we are planning next for the rest of the 8 months, 9 months of the remaining 8 months of this year. We have completed the audit again for 2005, and the number here are up to April 30, 2006. At this point, we have 85% of the invoice of our member collected. It's very important to add here that our billing process is a prepayment invoice. That means in January we bill all our previous year member for the whole year. So what we have collected here, it's the whole year collection. So we have the money in our account, and now we have to spending according to the budget all along the year. So we have already collected 85%, and we are still working very hard on collection of a fee from our member. As the budget has not been adopted earlier, we have frozen much of the capital expense. And at the OPEX side, we have only spent 23% of what has been proposed in the budget. This have been very conservative as we don't have the full budget voted for yet. So these are the figures. For membership fee raised, the total invoice was $549,300. We've received around $24,000 as grant and different grant for including the support from this meeting and other. We have operation expenditure, mainly travel, office expense, meeting, and general office expense. Capital expense, as I was saying, not much, but here you will see that the car, which has been budgeted in 2005 and not bought in 2005, has been bought in 2006, so it's reflected here so that we know the cash flow, how the money we have, what it is exactly. So we attain an operation surplus if we compare what we have earned or we got from our membership and grant. We remove that from what we have expended. We have about $455,800 surplus, but it's not surplus because we have collected all the money of the year at the beginning. So this money is there, but will be used for the rest of the year. And our bank balance on April 13th is $660,000 around. Comparing this to the budget, in most of the case we are in line. Only that you can see that the bank charge has increased a bit, and we have 110%, but again, the bank charges mostly are from wire transfer, though linked to the invoice. So as we have collected most of the invoice, the bank charge here has attained what has been budgeted at the beginning, and we have about only 10% more than what has been budgeted. This gives a brief summary of the billing. Along with the billing or the collection of previous year member, we also continue to welcome new member, new LIR, so we break down here the income, existing member and new member from and pair category. So the total invoice raised in 2006, including new member, is around $665,000. How the payment also is split. We have then a difference from LIR, new and old member, for about $120,000 difference, which are not collected yet. So it's still a big number on which we are working. So in total, we have collected from the $665,000, $549,000 so far. Capex, not much. Computer and furniture. For around $1,600. Now that the budget has been approved by, reviewed by the committee and approved by the board, now we can start deploying our plan for 2006. We have to continue, first of all, to chase our member for them to pay. We have sent them now the second reminder. The third reminder is on the way. That third reminder will lead to LIR closure. So it's the last one before we start the closure process, meaning if you are an LIR and you reach the end of the closure, if you want to get back your resource again, you have to go through the new membership process again and restart the whole process. So better not to reach there. This year we are planning to start the billing process a bit earlier to be able to send out 2007 invoice in December instead of sending it in January as we did this year. This year we did it that way because of the software we are using for the invoice. Now the software has been updated, so we will be able to invoice earlier in 2006. Human resource, as I presented yesterday, we are planning to hire more staff to strengthen the organization, so we will also start working on that. As the chair of the finance committee said before, this year we will start taking part of the expense in South Africa in our budget. So it's part of the budget. You have seen some of the expenses in South Africa are included, especially salary. Staff will be moving from South Africa to Mauritius, so his salary will be taken in account in the budget presented. That's all for this first quarter. I think all of you has received the more detailed quarter one report in your pack. If you have any question or any additional comments, they are welcome. Thank you.
Any question to Adiel? Any comments so far?
William Stuckey, ZNETA, South Africa. It appears to me that EFRINIC's finances are a whole heap healthier than they were expected to be when we were discussing the subject a year ago.
If I understand that, it's healthy than what was expected. As I showed yesterday in my report, we are seeing a growth in our membership and due to different things. But as said again, we have to be very conservative because we are still in our transition period. I remember in 2004, in Dakar during AFRINIC 1, when the plan, the whole business plan has been adopted, we give ourselves 3 years to build sufficient reserve and to see the end of the incubation period when AFRINIC will take over the whole operation, both South Africa, including Mauritius and other countries, then being able to be more flexible and open. So yes, we are doing a bit more better than what we have planned. We have some reserve, and as Alan said, those reserve doesn't include South African expense, for instance. So at the end of this year, we will spend more money from the reserve probably to cover some of the expense in South Africa. But with the growth, of course, that will allow us by the end of the year to have a balance number and probably increase the reserve or it will decrease according to the number. So the conclusion here is that it's not yet 100% the time to proclaim the that we got more money that we have because we still have some challenge ahead, and we have to wait to face them before start celebrating.
I can see from the presentation that most of the revenue for AFRINIC is from the membership fees. My question is to the other registries to know if they are in the same situation. I'm sure that AFRINIC will have members and LIR, but if we are in a situation where the numbers of members goes down or the number of LRS goes down, but one day AFRINIC will have a certain number of staff and they will need a minimum amount of money to cover some expenses. So I want to know
if AFRINI can have another activity that can generate revenue apart the membership for the what the LRA are paying. This is my question.
I will probably let all the other area representative present here to answer the question to them, but I will just make a comment is that one of the way, I mean, the area business is more based on resource allocation, resource management. So our source of revenue is mostly, should mostly be that. And at the other hand, that's why we need to have a sufficient reserve to be able, in case we have a drop in our membership, to be able to use that, and that is a common practice in any business. So, and why we have that in our planning, to be able to build some reserve, and as it was showed by Alan before, our goal is to have 12 months of operation budget, meaning that in the case we have zero new member, we will be able to at least cover the year. We don't want to get to that situation at all, but in case. But I will give the floor to other area to maybe share the experience in that.
Ray Polzak from Aaron. Aaron derives its revenues from its actions, which are the allocation and assignment of Internet number resources. We are not in business to do anything else. So therefore, we don't set up to sell anything. We are there, as you can see from your budget, and our budget is similar in that you try and balance the budget, the expenditures against the revenue. And we on the Aaron board are continually looking to the future to look at those things where you may have a decline in memberships or whatever. And so it's a continual thing, and that this is one of the reasons why the board exists, is to provide that fiduciary oversight. And so this is one of their primary things that they have to do. And so it's the responsibility of the members actually to pay their share. Now, like the other registries, we also seek sponsors for meetings, and so we defray some of the costs of the meetings by the participation of people to sponsor activities such as maybe the social event or the wireless connections in the room or whatever. So that is the only other possible source of revenue that you would see that we would have.
Jared Ross from APNIC. I guess the situation APNIC is similar again. By far the majority of our revenue comes from membership fees. We have a couple of different ways of charging, though. We have our standard membership fees, which are a predictable, recurring amount. We also do make some services available on a non-member account holder basis, but that's a fairly minor input to our revenues. As Ray said, with meetings, we charge meeting registration fees, we charge training fees, we get sponsorship for those events, but that's really partial cost recovery. Those activities are still heavily subsidised. It's the same sort of position for us. We have had a few budgetary challenges in recent years because almost all of our revenues are in US dollars. Most of our expenses are in Australian dollars. And with the Australian dollar having grown in value over the last few years against the US, that's made the budget position a lot tighter than it had been in previous years. We haven't had any fee rises at all in APNIC's history. We changed the tier structure at one stage to put some different levels in, but the actual fees that we charge have been unchanged, even though for most people the change in the value of the US dollar has actually meant their fees have dropped in real terms. that is starting to bite a little bit. It's getting harder to come up with a balanced budget, and so the there is an ongoing review of the APNIC fee structure at the moment to maybe look at changing the categories again, but also looking at the way that we actually balance the fees across different members and to try and create a more fair balance between what the small and the large members pay, and also to provide a bit more a little bit more padding in our budget so that we can continue to provide new services and develop the services.
Hi. I'm Ripe. Yeah, Paul.
Paul Rennick, Ripe NCC. Our situation is slightly different from the other registries. We have something called Network Coordination Center put on the back of Ripe. That was done for a reason. One of the core functions of the Ripe NCC is obviously to act as the regional internet registry for its region. But we are not ruling this as our sole revenue stream. If there are services that need to be coordinated by a body such as the Ripe NCC, and the internet community in our region believes the Ripe NCC should carry them out, we will take a revenue stream from those services. But of course, like the other registries, you know, the majority is taken from that, from our fees for the internet resources that we distribute. The Ripe NCC is very much the same as the others in that its board constantly looks at its revenue stream and is looking forward, as the Aaron board is, to the future and making sure that we secure finances to run the Ripe NCC in a stable fashion. So much the same is done that way. The meetings, again, we may be a little bit different from the other registries as well in that we have a separate organization called Ripe that holds those meetings. We do take sponsorship from various bodies that it is fairly heavily sponsored, the Ripe meetings, but the Ripe NCC membership has agreed, and it is in the board's statements, that we will underwrite those Ripe meetings to make sure that they are successful.
Thank you, Paul.
Sorry, just one more quick clarification of the APNIC situation as well. It's our executive council several years ago set a policy that APNIC should always keep 1 year's operating expenses in reserve, so we budget to maintain that. So if revenue stopped today, we could still keep operating for a year and get things back on course.
Thanks, Shira.
Adil, it's Ray Polsak.
Yeah.
Aaron also has a 1 year operating reserve for the eventuality that something would happen. We also have other reserves to replace capital equipment and so forth. So that we know is going to go away. We also have reserves to replace furniture over time. So we have a number of different funds that we categorize reserve for to take care of the wear and tear that happens over the course of years. With regard to fees, Aaron has never had a fee increase. We've had several fee reductions. We currently have a waiver in place for all fees associated with IPv6 services.
Yeah, Paul.
I'm sorry, Paul, here from Ripe NCC again. We also have a policy to have a one-year operating reserve. We currently have about 13.5 million euros in reserves, but we have an operating budget of 10 million euros to run the Ripe NCC, so we're running a little over that. We have been decreasing. We have only increased our fees once in the history of the Ripe NCC, but have been continuously decreasing this. But we seem, every time we seem to decrease the fees to try to reach, you know, a zero sum at the end, we seem to have membership bursts that come, and we seem to always be over what we were expecting, surplus income, of course. Again, we feel that we will be in this position at the end of this year, and our board is taking a look at that to try to make sure that we try to stay within that 1 year of operating reserves.
Thanks so much for this. Any Okay, maybe the last one then. Go ahead.
Thanks. Adele, on the fourth page of the financial, the activities report, it states that you've made a 50% return on income. In terms of AFISPA's experience, also being an organization registered in Mauritius, this, as a non-profit organization, this can give you difficulty with a local taxman. We had the same problem.
No, because we have a total tax waive from the government of Mauritius, so we don't have any problem with that at all. And we have discussed that issue with our auditor too, and so far there's no problem with that. Am I right? No?
We had the same, but they still said they wanted us to pay tax until we explained to them. But it was a problem at one stage. Viv, maybe you'd like to address this.
We don't have a waiver, William.
Yeah, I mean, the difference of AFINIC, AFISPA doesn't have an official letter from the government yet.
We have an official letter from the government saying that with our the kind of business we are doing for the continent, we got a waiver, which AFISPA doesn't have. I wasn't hearing right.
Okay. Well, thanks for these comments, and let's thank Adele for that. Oh, sorry. Was there anyone at the back? Oh, I'm sorry then. I didn't see your hands. Okay, go ahead, please.
Okay. My name is Muhammadu Kar. Just curious what the strategy you guys are adopting to increase the membership so that you can reduce cost. I think it's okay to do what you're doing, but AFINEC should be in a position where the demand far exceeds the current membership so that your gap between the demand and the supply can help manage the risk. It's not very clear in your long-term view how you are going to strategize to increase the membership in the different constituencies who are potential members. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the question. I think in the various presentations we have made since yesterday, we talked several times about awareness, training, open to non-member. The business we are in is related to your infrastructure. If you don't need IP address, you cannot get IP address, you cannot become member. So somehow our membership is linked to the internet development. In our mission, we have in our mission that one of our goals also is to help the internet development in Africa. That's why we are trying to work together with other organizations, for instance, AFNOG, and reach out, help to build a sustainable infrastructure, talk about NATs, the disadvantage of NAT. So there is a big thing to do to reach out to make people aware about the need for them to get their IP address, which is a need. So it's not a commodity where you just have this kind of marketing around IP address. But what we can do is to make our community, different constituency, aware that they have to get their own resources, become AFINEC member, and yeah.
Thank you for that comment. I'm just looking at the capacity of human resource you have and the increasing growth of ISPs and non-ISPs who are increasing their infrastructure ramp up. So my point is there needs to be a way of looking at how you can look at your current shortfall in terms of your human resource to ramp up the awareness, because I know of many ISPs and, for example, universities that are building infrastructure that don't know what AFINEC is and what it can do for them. And partly it's not your fault, partly it's because it's a young organization and human resource cannot possibly go all over the place. So I think a strategy on how to better do that to help the word to go out. I see that that's a very critical point to minimize the probability of having demand shortfalls in the long term, which could be a big possibility.
Yeah, I got the point. But as I say again, the capacity building, the human resource thing, is part of our. At least we have a short-term plan which we are deploying. But of course, the board and myself are watching and trying to define a longer-term strategic plan, including all those points.
Well, certainly, small addition here is that okay, we are also increasing our human resource basis also, and in that regard, more communication will be going out, and then we understand that we'll be building, you know, more kind of closer relationship, you know, with the potential, you know, client. But yeah, but as he said, there's a strategy there to kind of firm up. Also, there is kind of detail that Sandy would like to put in here.
Okay, just a comment that we should also consider the fact that LIRs actually should deal much more with the end users than the registry. So the focus should be actually that if the LIR do the contacts and get the end users, the registry itself will have very little to do apart from setting up LIRs.
This is Leo with the Aran Advisory Council. I just wanted to make a comment that in the Aran region, I think one of the best forms of marketing over the years for Aran was that the ISPs, as they assigned resources to end users, explicitly pointed to Aran's guidelines for assigning space and percent utilization and things of that nature. And because the ISPs did that to the end users, at such time when the end users got larger, started their own networks, any of those sorts of things, they were already aware of Aran's policies and procedures. So I think it would be good to encourage all of your LIR members to sort of transparently pass through that, being proud in the fact that we adhere to AFRINIC guidelines and pointing their end users to AFRINIC site as well to help market in that respect.
My name is Ndukwe Kalu from Nigeria. I just want to reemphasize what doctor said, and what has been emphasized. I think AFRINIC must see itself as a service provider with a customer base. It's, I think, is a different, or maybe you could use the word wrong perspective, to say that AFRINIC does not have a product to sell. Now, in terms of the comment of a distribution network, which you want to use the LIRs, the comment made is that like some and many service providers do not know that they can come to AFRINIC, and many of them are quite big. Now, if the problem is your LIR, it means you have a problem with your distribution system for your service. So the bottom line really is that look at the system that would put this resource, because it's doing nothing, sitting in one place, in the hands of service providers and networks that need them, so that ultimately we'll be able to achieve lower running costs, cheaper fees for service providers, and then also grow internet usage. And if there is a bottleneck in terms of internet growth, then it becomes a key factor with you to work probably with other bodies like AFRISPA, AFNOG, to see what could be done to grow internet penetration in this region, because your service because you must always see it that way, depends on this growth. So that's just what I wanted to reemphasize. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this comment, and I think with that I would like to move on. Adiel, thanks. And okay, well, I have some sort of quickly see if we could readjust this program and go for the tea break. But then I'm told that now the election is going to be quick, so that let's proceed as scheduled. So now the second part of this is going to be the elections, and then I will hand over to the election committee, and the chair is there to take us through these elections. Sandy.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to invite members of the Board Elections Committee to come forward. ELV, ADL. Okay. You're blocking my slides. You are forgiven. Okay, let me just quickly step through my slides and the procedure we're going to adopt. The Board Elections Committee is made up of my humble self, URV Atong, who is seated there, Mike Tinka, who unfortunately cannot be with us. I understand he just took a beautiful new bride and is busy increasing the world population. And last but not the least is our CEO, ADL. We're electing members into the board from two regions, Southern African region and the Eastern Africa region. Recall we have six regions, and we will be electing two people per region. We have six candidates from the Southern Africa region. I'll present them to you later. Almada Silvio from Angola, Barrett Harlan from South Africa, Mark Elkins from South Africa, Enville Fraser, also South Africa, Kosone Timothy from Zambia, and Alan Levine from South Africa. For the Eastern African region, we have Longwe Brian from Kenya and Ntege Badru from Uganda. Voters eligibility. Only active AFRINIC members can vote. Active means current in the payment of dues. Duly signed proxies are accepted. And at the end of the validation exercise, we have 35 eligible voting members who have been certified to vote in today's election. How the votings will go. Every member eligible to vote have received ballot papers in their members' pack, which was given to them at the point of registration. I did stress it earlier before the lunch break, and I requested those who have not received the park to contact any of the staff or members of the elections committee. The ballot papers are blue and have the AFRINIC stamp at the back. They are in your packs. For the election, candidates will be able to vote and indeed will be allowed to vote. We expect that you will indicate the candidates of your choice for each region by putting a cross or a tick in front of the candidate's name on the ballot paper. So there would be separate voting for Southern region and separate voting for Eastern region. Now, for each region that we are voting for, one tick or a cross against a candidate's name is accepted as a valid vote. Two ticks or crosses against two candidates is also valid in a region. But if there are three ticks or three crosses in any region, that ballot will be invalidated. That will not be counted as a valid vote. So you can either vote for one or vote for two per region. Vote determination. At the end of voting, member with the highest number of votes in a region becomes the primary board member in that region. And the member or candidate with the second highest number of votes in a region will become the alternate board member for that region. Should we have a tie for the primary board seat in any of the regions, we shall conduct another ballot for that region to choose who shall be the primary board member from that region. At the second ballot to determine who the primary will be in case of a tie, only one of those who tie can be voted for on that second ballot. So you will then be only able to vote for one and not two. And if we do have a tie for the alternate board seat in a region, the same procedure will apply. Another ballot will be conducted for that region to choose the alternate board member from that region. And only one of those who tie can be voted for on the new ballots. In case we do have ties, we shall conduct those runoff balloting simultaneously for the two regions. Counting of ballots. To assist us with the balloting procedure, I hereby request for volunteers from our colleagues in other RIRs to join us to help with the balloting. I can see Ray putting his hand up for Aaron. Ray, please step forward. Thank you. A round of applause for Ray. Apnik. Thank you very much. Step forward. Laknik. Thank you. You are not Apnik. Ripe. Oh, you are ripe. Can I pluck you? Ekoband. Okay. Okay. All right, please take your seats. Can we have more chairs, Yuavi? Okay. Okay. Something blocking my slides. Think it's okay? Aha, that's better. Okay, so now we have the counting committee constituted, and I'll now go on to introduce the candidates. One or two candidates are not here, but we still must introduce candidates that are not here. And what I will do if they are not here is I will read their biography and also read what they have submitted, which we've pasted on the website. But for those who are here, by the powers conferred on me, you will have 2 minutes to talk. And when you've gone for 1 minute, I'll shuffle my feet. And when there's 30 minutes more, I'll start, 30 seconds more, I'll start screwing up my face. And when your time is up, I'll wrestle the microphone from your hand. I hope that's a very clear procedure. For those who don't know, I was a weightlifter in my first life. I don't think anybody would block me. The only person I fear is not a candidate, William Stocky. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Silvio Alameda from Angola. 2 minutes, no more. You don't have a campaign manager, do you?
Silvio Almeida from Angola. I write in my presentation, I am a pioneer of internet in Angola. I set up the first email in Angola. And I support the Afrinic, I support Afrinic works since 1995. Sorry, my English is not so good, because I speak Portuguese, but all things that I did, in English. I decided to be a candidate for the Afrinic to help Africa in the with my experience. I got in this long time of work in the internet, I can transport all this expertise in the board Afrinic. What I can say. We have a different.
A round of applause for Silvio. Thank you, Silvio. All right. Please welcome from South Africa, Alan Barrett.
Thanks. I'm Alan Barrett. I've been involved with Afrinic for quite a while now. I was one of the authors of the proposal back in 1997 to form Afrinic. Subsequent to that, I worked through a few revisions of the proposal. I was elected to the interim board in 2001, I think it was, I've served on the board of AFRINIC proper after it became a fully constituted body for the last 2 years. And yeah, a few people have asked me to continue to serve on the board for another term, so I've agreed to stand again. Thank you. My 2 minutes is not up, but I think I'll give the mic back to Sunday.
Thanks, Alan. I'd also invite to step forward and address the community from South Africa, Mark Elkins. A round of applause for him, please.
I'll use that, then he can take it away from me there. Okay, like Alan, I've also been around a long time, pre-internet days, etc. One of the things I do have, I have a passion. I have a passion for the internet. I also have the time to commit to working with AFRINIC. Some of the things that weren't in the resume about myself. I'm a director on co.za, so I work on the name side there. I understand that names and numbers are not the same thing, but I also do have this passion for numbers as well. I'm also an ISP owner, not just in Johannesburg, but also in Swaziland, and I've also got internet running up to London as well, so I see these problems that ISPs see. A member of ISPA, and I've also been sort of dragged onto AFRISPA. So what do I do? Well, for example, next week I'm meeting with Alan Levine up to Lagos to help with stuff up there. Now, if I take the place of one of the two South Africans, what difference will that make to the people out here, you guys? I don't think it makes too much difference, because I neither see Alan or Alan really stepping down from what they're doing already. So here I am, I'm fresh blood. And one of the things that I really want to try and do if I'm voted on, and I need to be voted on to do this type of thing, is to talk to the business owners who use IP address space and see if I can convince them, I am quite well known in the South African area, to properly become members and pay more money and hopefully bring everyone else's fees down at the same time.
30 seconds more.
That's it.
Very much.
Okay, Mark reminds us that we are running like the ancient, you know, mail delivery system in the Wild Wild West. Well, you have to change the horses after each stage in the carriage. A round of applause for Mark. Okay, and the Fraser is not here. While standing as chair of the elections committee, and I will read his profile. Enville Fraser has been involved in internet policy development and related matters at national and international level since 2001. He was responsible for the preparation and presentation of South Africa's bid to host AFRINIC. He has a BA honors degree and postgraduate diploma in management. His experience in the internet and ICT policy matters include the development of the national policy and legislation for South Africa, as well as serving as an expert consultant to the government of Namibia in developing their e-commerce legislation. He served as an alternate to the Government Advisory Committee representative for South Africa. He is currently the Research, Development, and Funding Manager at the Meraka Institute. The institute is actively involved in the ICT sector and is a publicly funded research, innovation, and development institution. Further details are available at www.meraka.org.za. Round of applause for Enville Fraser. Okay. Next is Timothy Kusone from Zambia. He is also not here, so I'll read his profile. His name is Timothy Kasonde Kasolo. He works for AfriConnect in the Technical Support Department. AfriConnect is internet service provider, ISP, in Zambia, providing broadband internet connectivity, and their website is www.africonnect.co.zm or www.iconnect.zm in Zambia. His main concern is for Africa to have cheaper internet access using wireless technologies. Therefore, he would like to be part of the board to sit on the Southern African board and serve. A round of applause for Kosone K. Timothy. And last but not the least, from the Southern African region, please welcome the gentleman in beard. You can hunt grass cutters and wild fowls in his beard, Alan Levine. A round of applause for him.
Hi, good afternoon. It's a good thing, Sunday, that you don't get to read my resume out, because I think that you wouldn't have been able to do that in the two-minute allocation that you've allowed.
10 seconds is gone.
So I'm not going to read that out. I'm a computer scientist with an interest in policy and civil society. As a privileged white South African, I'm committed to furthering economic and social development across Africa and supporting civil society and government in this cause. As you can see there, I'm the chairman of ISOC ZA. I'm the treasurer of the ZA DNA. I also operate on the executive of the Bandwidth Barn, a cooperative ISP. I'm the content team leader on the African Internet Exchange Task Force, and a proponent of civil society. There are two main reasons why I wish to run again. I've been on the board for 2 years. The first reason is the same reason why I motivated to be elected to the board in the first place, and that is to look at the pricing models. My goal is to look carefully at the pricing models to incentivize smaller ISPs, recognizing that smaller ISPs represent the growth of both the economy and the internet in Africa. We've been partially successful in addressing pricing over the past 2 years, although the goal of accumulating 1 year operational reserves is something which has delayed further look at the pricing of small ISPs. And I believe that we're going to achieve that very soon, and during the next term we'll be able to address that more directly. Further, I've been working closely with APNIC on developing a communications plan for AfriNIC, and I hope to continue on the board in my role as the communications and media person comes on board and assisting them to actually take forward this communications plan into implementation stage. Thank you for your time.
Okay, just a reminder to us all that we're still running independent candidates in AfriNIC. I'm sure as we evolve, we'll then have Tories, Socialist Party, Conservative Parties, and all the full works. So a round of applause for Alan again. From the Eastern African region, please welcome to address the AfriNIC members, Brian Longwe.
All right, sure. Hi, everybody. My name is Brian Longwe, as I've been introduced. And I don't know, what can I say about myself? I would call myself a network engineer by birth, because I can't really say I have formal training. I just found myself doing it. And I've been networking all kinds of different things. Started out networking computers, eventually found myself networking routers, and eventually found myself networking networks. Recently, I've been networking people, and now I'd like to network organizations. And when I say network, I'm talking about designing and building sustainable, scalable networks. I'll give you a small story. Behind the scenes, Sunday, Folayan and I were part of the secret police that were called on during the early Afrinic days. Whenever things got into a logjam, we were called in to come and sort of unjam everything. You know, you do the social networking when there was all these sort of arguments and debates and lockups. We would come in and try to sort of do some lobbying. So both of us felt that we would be able to serve on the board and be able to provide internal social networking within the board and advance, of course, the opportunity that this organization presents within Africa. I feel that I'm ready to serve for another term and maybe then consider stepping down. Thank you very much.
Okay, round of applause for the head of Gestapo. All right, last but not the least, please welcome all the way from Uganda, Badru Ntege.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to talk about myself because that is in the document over there. I'm going to tell you a small story of what makes me want to run for this position. I came back to Africa in 2001 after living in England for 20 years. I got an opportunity to host AFNOG in 2003. I got a call one morning that one of my instructors was there. I went and I met He Jian. In the morning, I introduced him. I had appointments and I left that day. I came back at 6 o'clock and I couldn't find him. I went into the lobby and in the corner of the garden were four people on a laptop in the dark, and I realized that those must be my guys, because there's no way I could get a network there. Talking to the guys that already hooked up the network. What brought me back was to make a difference on the continent. I thought I could contribute, but after a year I realized that I hadn't done anything, because I met the AFNOG team. I met a team of dedicated people. And after AFNOG, I asked to be part of the team. They gave me a task to organize the tutorials and the presentations. AFNOG tutorial and presentation in Uganda 2003 had less than 30 people who were all part of the students. My first task was AFNOG Dakar, where we had over 100 people. Then Maputo, then this year. I think I've actually done something with the team. This was my calling. Meeting the likes of Alan Barrett, Dr. Nee, the people who to me now are the visionaries who are trying to take this continent where we need it to go. I believe I can contribute. I need you to give me that vote. To find that only two people from East Africa have actually run is shameful for our region. I need to see more people. Thank you. Please give me that vote.
Okay. Thank you, Badru. Ladies and gentlemen, you've listened to all the candidates, and we will now go into voting. Yes, Mr. Stocky?
Can I make a suggestion in the case of the East Africa region? That instead of people voting for both candidates, since both candidates will automatically be getting in, we only vote for one of them so that we know automatically which is the primary and which is the secondary candidate without having to run a second runoff vote?
Well, your suggestion is very good. Maybe people don't want both candidates. We shouldn't assume. We have a procedure. Let's follow our own procedure. Thank you. Okay, After the voting, we will be announcing the results of the voting. And of course, if there are any questions now, I'll be glad to take them, and then we'll go back to voting. Any questions from the community? May I take it then that the voting procedure is very, very clear? It's designed to ensure that there will be no ambiguity. We'll run the same procedure, first ballot, and if there's a tie, we run the second procedure for resolving ties. If we're all clear with the voting procedure, can I hear all of us say, Sonny?
Yamaha.
If you are very clear, can you say, Sonny? Okay, if you are not clear, say, don't know. Okay, the Sonnies have it. All right, so we go back to voting. May I invite Ray to help me show the ballot box and to join me.
Take out the 57 ballots in it, okay.
What's inside? Okay, abracadabra, the more you see, the less you understand. Okay. I think we should drop it with a counting committee. Ray, please step forward. We'll do this together.
The procedure will be that there are 35 persons in the room that are registered to vote, and after you mark your ballot, I will be calling your name and in the order that they are listed on this list, and request that you proceed to the box area here and drop your ballot in the box. There is one proxy, which is right here in my hand, from Echo Band. So there will be a total of 37 ballots that are possible. Remember, if you do not follow the correct marking instructions, your ballot will be invalid and will not be counted. So I guess at this time they take the moment to mark the ballots. So please mark your ballots. Okay, we have two proxies. The second proxy is for Bushnet. So there are 34 valid ballots in the room, or voters, I should say. Okay, I will now commence with the tally. Angola Telecom. Rough High Tech. Rough High Tech. Camtel. Gabon Telecom. Ghana Telecom.
Check your pack. It's in your pack.
Ghana Telecom. NAS Interglobal. Network Computer Systems. ISP Kenya, Ken Nick, KE Nick, Communication Solution. Communication Solution. Communication Solution. Not here. Kenya Data Networks. Kenya Data Networks. Kenya Data Networks. Bingo. Not yet. Wananachi Online. Wananachi Online. Wananachi Online. Afrobone Mali. MFD. MTEL. NIC MW. NIC MW. NIC MW. ScanNet. Terracom Communication. Richard Lupernembe. So excuse me if I mispronounced that. TIPSA, TIPSA. Computer Frontiers. Computer Frontiers. Computer Frontiers. Uganda Telecom. Uganda Telecom. Uganda Telecom. ZANET. DOC ZA. MCIJ, or Egyptian, I'm having trouble reading this, this handwritten. MTN Uganda. University of Jos. Comoros Telecom. CB Net. Okay, so just a few more. I wonder who these guys are going to vote for. Mark Elkins? Alan Levine? Alan Barrett? Silvio Almanda? Brian Longway? And Badru Natigi. What about Gabon? No, he's okay. I called all these guys. I called them.
Matt is not here.
You have your ballot? Okay, Rolf Hitech is here. He will cast his ballot. Okay. I will first. Did Gabon cast a ballot? Okay, he's doing it right now. Okay, I will now call again those that did not answer the first roll. The Communication Solution, Kenya Data Networks, Wanachi Online, Nick MW, Computer Frontiers, Uganda Telecom, if you are in the room and you think you are a qualified voter and you have not cast a ballot, please come forward and talk to the chairman.
You forgot the proxies, Ray.
I've got the proxies right here. I've got the proxies right here that were handed to me before I started.
Yes, you just didn't call us, is what I'm saying.
I said I had a proxy for Bushnet. I had a proxy.
This is the proxy for Bushnet. Do you have the ballot for Bushnet? Please drop it.
Okay, you have the ballot for Echo Band. I have the proxy. Okay, and I have a proxy here for Onatel. Okay. Minus. So, final number of voters casting ballots was 31. There were six people that did not answer the roll. And now we will count, and hopefully everyone cast a valid ballot.
Thank you, Ray. Okay, so let the counting begin.
no, let the counting begin. You need to supervise that they are counting correctly. Let's not trust them because they are RIRs, okay? If you trust them too much, when Adele goes back, he may be returning a favor. All right. So while the counting is going on, let's just review the presentation of the candidates since voting is gone. Oh, you don't want it. Okay, I'll sit down. All right. Counting is complete. We don't have any tie. And it's my responsibility to announce the results of the voting. But before I do the announcements, may I seize this opportunity to thank our counting committee. I thought they are routing registries, but you must see them the way they were routing paper packets here. Amazing and unbelievable. So if you do need to know what more routing registries route, I confirm to you that they route ballots. So a round of applause for Ray and his colleagues for the other registries. Thank you, and I trust you'll be here next year to help us route in Nigeria. All right, the results. I'll announce first from the Eastern region. Please welcome your alternate 2006 to 2009 from Kenya with a round loud of applause, Brian Longwe. He polled a total of 14 votes. And for your primary board member, from Uganda with 25 votes, Ntege Badru. We move on to Southern Africa. What's most important in the Olympics is to run and try as much as possible to breast the tape. A lot of people do not have the courage to even try to run. But many more have the courage to run because the real triumph is to run. If you don't make it first time, run again. And if you still don't make it, run again till you make it. I recall in Dakar that Badru ran and did not make it, and he ran again. So for those who are running this time and will not make it, patience, your time will come. Virtue has its own reward. So I will announce the results, starting with the highest inverse pole. Highest inverse pole comes first, and they will receive my certificate of participation. They may not receive a seat on the board, but they've won my heart, and they will receive my certificate of participation. So, welcome. From Zambia, with one vote, Kosone K. Timothy. Thank you all for giving him my certificate on my behalf. Also, to receive my certificate from South Africa, Fraser Enver, with two votes. And also for my certificate from South Africa, Mark Elkins with seven votes. Also in my League of Honor and Recognition of Valor, please welcome to receive my certificate from South Africa, Alan Levine. And now, a round of applause for the alternate you have all elected to your board to steer your affairs. From Angola, Almadasi Silvio. And your primary board member from the Southern Region, a round of applause for Alan Barrett. Will I have stepped forward here, the primaries and alternates for the Eastern and Southern region, so that we can ask the chair to present them to the community. While they step forward, as the TV station sings the signature tune, it's me, your anchor for this election process. A round of applause for the Afrinic's own, what name do I like? I think I like Richard Quest. Thank you.
Well,
I think that was quite serious. We did have UN observers. So I'm confident that we voted, and really, I'm really happy and to welcome our new board members. Good thing is that we know all of them, but I think maybe before Adiel comes in with the rest, the few minutes we still have for this meeting, what we're going to do. I wanted to really take the opportunity to thank you all, because this election, when I was coming here, I was saying, well, this is just two regions, and you remember we were supposed to break for coffee. I was told this is going to be quite quick, and then you move out. It tends to be so intensive and serious. And that one, I like it. And but also, the people we are having, I knew them, and most of them are kind of pioneers in this thing as well, and we also have new blood. So it's quite interesting for me. But those whom I would really like to thank, in fact, is those who stood up for this. Those who really wanted to contribute. And the only one thing I would like to say is that the board, of course, is not the only one place you contribute to this thing. To be frank with you, right now, we've been called upon to actually suggest few names of people to be either going for the ICANN board, for instance, and then to not really represent, the continent, but at least to contribute their expertise. So I see this as a sort of pool of competence, of people whom we will eventually call upon. So I think not only you are in our hearts, but I think our database is there and does need it. This also is an opportunity for me to really thank our colleagues that are leaving the board. I think it's important because, like I was saying, when we started a year ago, actually, the real work, we did have some problems, inside, and then people were really getting a bit fed up of it. And I was saying, well, this is a normal process, actually, for people to come to know each other, and even to know exactly why they are here for. Because I have to confess to you, at some point, I was having the impression that some of, my board members didn't really know why they were here for. Now I have the impression that, okay, things have gone well in there. It's better. And the governance, think that we did have in Cairo help for this. So I think things are moving on, much more smoothly. Our friend from Charles Musisi left yesterday. Of course, he stepped down from the board, and I would really like to extend, and I will do it, of course. We sent him some notes, but please, I would like you to recognize, what he did, what contribution he brought to the board and to AFRINIC. I would like a round of applause for him, please. Of course, we are losing one Alan from the board, but certainly I know Alan is still around. Alan Levine is still around. I know he wears so many hats, and then certainly he is also one of those that we certainly will call upon. And Alan has demonstrated his will to push this process forward. I know that some of us at some time was a bit fed up with his pumping on this, fees, fees issue, that he would like to change those things. But I think it's a question of time, and then it's a question of strategy. Then we told him that this will come anyway. He might not have achieved this while, he was with us. But I think this thing will happen sometime, and he will certainly be satisfied. So please, I would like also you to recognize with me what he brought to the community. And please, a round of applause to him, please. Who else did we? It's okay. I think it's all. It's all okay. Sorry. No, it's okay. No, no, it's okay. This is Gabon is bringing a sort of, yeah, but no, it's okay. We will just deal with that. Normally, what we do is that we the board retires normally and come back. Huh? Yeah. That's what we do. And but I think Adiel has got also some specifics for the closing. So, are you ready? Can I? Because I just wanted to close for once so that we go for this coffee break and everything. And unless you guys still want to stay. Coffee break. Coffee break. Okay, so Adiel, Democratic colleague suggests that we should just continue. There's no tea break or coffee break at this time. We'll come later on. Okay, so Adiel, I would like to give you the floor.
Yeah, Adam. Yeah, okay, I think we don't need to go back and come after the coffee break again. I think it has been a very successful meeting. The attendance has been great. Before any final closure word, maybe from the chairman, I would like us to have a special thank and applause to our sponsors, and I think they deserve our real and deep recognition for what they did. So, and I hope we will have them with us for the upcoming event too. As we did this year, having a joint meeting, I will call AFNOG representative soon to give us detail about the date of the upcoming AFNOG, which will be also in conjunction with AFRINIC. But before that, I'm pleased to invite you all to our AFRINIC 5th meeting, which will be held in our headquarters in Mauritius from November 27th to December 1st this year. So you are all welcome. It will be a full week event with training, tutorial, and 2 days of meetings. So you are very welcome to Mauritius, a very beautiful island, beautiful beaches, and other beautiful things. So I guess you will enjoy that, and maybe why not take that opportunity to take some vacation and spend some time in Mauritius. So you are all welcome in Mauritius. The next AFRINIC 6 meeting will be in Nigeria, May 1st to 2nd. As I said, it's in conjunction with AFNOG event, which the detail of the date will be given soon by Dr. Nick Winoff, the principal convener of AFNOG. I hope he's here. No. So, somebody from AFNOG, IT? For AFRINIC 7, the location has not been chosen yet, so it's still open. If you want to host AFRINIC 7, you are welcome. Come to see me, and we'll talk about it. Is there any candidate already here who plan probably possibly to host Afrinic 7 in 2007. Yeah. So yeah, we can talk about that. That's all for now.
Thank you very much, Adiel. With that, I will formally close this, but I would like all our board members to kind of step forward so that we are all together. So please, the rest of the board members, please join me. Before this formal closing, maybe there is any announcement from our sister organizations. I still have some time for that. I know the AFTLD guys, you know, met. And, yeah, we do have 2 minutes for whatever announcement before we formally close this, please.
So, just maybe give the details for the AFNOG meeting. So the AFNOG workshop next year will be from the 23rd to the 29th of April.
So we meet later on as a meeting.
And the tutorial, the meeting, and AFRINIC meeting included will start from April 13th. So AFRINIC part is the first to the second, and the rest of the meeting will be held at the same period. So see you in November 1st. And then in April, May next year. Thank you.
Okay. Now I think we do have all our board members. Some of them still want to be sitting there, but okay. Of course, the board will be meeting after we close. Actually, we'll be taking some time to organize ourselves. I think I don't want to stand between you and coffee break, but just wanted to say that, of course, it's a pleasure, and the pleasure is all the more, you know, important to me that, you know, the attendance is so great, and also with our partners here. So I think we have so many reasons to be happy with this outcome. But as we said, upon recognition of, you know, AFRINIC, we were saying that, well, it's about quality of service for us. And I think that is some of the things I keep on saying, telling our CEO. It's about quality of service. It's about people coming, joining the community, but receiving whatever, you know, they are paying for, I would say that. And I think we will, of course, continue doing this one. We will never actually thank the registry enough for what they have been doing for us in terms of the sort of assistance they've been providing. And the two or three days we've spent here also, I have seen all of them renewing their commitment to really help us, you know, move forward. And that is quite healthy. And of course, it means that we are the same community. We need to be thankful of that. Of course, some of our younger colleagues that came from the for the AFNOG, you know, training here, where some of them approached me and said that, okay, how do we participate into these things? And that also was quite interesting because, like I said in the opening, we need to build a critical mass of people, and that really goes beyond. Now you also know that we are talking of this Internet Governance Forum, something like that, and many people will be called upon. This means also that someone was saying that the usual suspect. I think we should stop with that. Okay, we should have a pool of competence so that, okay, whoever is available should be, so that we don't have the same people, you know, that overstretch. And I think this is a situation we should now try to forget. I think that also we are trying to demonstrate some sort of transparency, because it has to be transparent. I'm certain in some of the places the type of transparency we have here, we do have it in some countries, you know. But definitely it means that we are trying to do business, you know, the best way. So let me really thank all of you. Of course, our staff, I mean the Afrinic staff, you know, that has made it possible for us to meet here, and I have to thank all of them. I should not forget the host country, and certainly some of us didn't have much time to go out from this place, although I think Kenya is primarily known as a tourist, you know, country, so there's no point for us now that the job is finished not to visit this place. So, really, mine is kind of a word of satisfaction so far, but also a signal that the community is moving, a signal that we really need to continue being up to the challenge, because it's a challenge. I can see my board. Most of the people I said are volunteers, and I know all the problem you are having, you know, especially when we are teleconferencing. And let me take the opportunity to say that, in fact, this teleconferencing from Africa is still an issue. Attending so many teleconferencings, in some of my teleconferencing, they will ask me to mute I think, because certainly the noise coming from Africa is disturbing the rest. And this is the case in most of the places. It's so difficult to teleconference today from some of the places. This is something we need to really work on. Well, I think with those words, I would really like to call this. To close this session, and of course, and also the whole meeting, and renew the invitation by Adiel that well. Mauritius is going to be our next venue. He said it all. Everything is beautiful over there. We'll go there and discover and find out. And then, and also I'd like to wish a safe journey back home to those who came here. And, I would like to very close this now. And thank you very much. Do we still have the coffee waiting for us now? Anyway, let's try outside.